What kind of church would our church be? If everyone served like you served, gave like you gave, loved like you loved, witnessed like you witnessed, I mean, loved one, attended church like you attend, what would it be like?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. We pray that your day is going well, and we've delighted you've tuned in today for Pastor Bill's study in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Today, Pastor Bill concludes the message, "We Really Need Each Other." Let's join the study.
Normally my prayer time is, I just get right into it, but this week it has been a struggle, and I usually, when that happens, there's something coming, and I don't want to know what it is, okay? But the fact is that the devil wants to take away your prayer time. He doesn't want you communicating. He doesn't want you to go to the throne of grace. He doesn't want you to be in contact with the Father who loves you, amen? So maybe tonight you might say, you know what, Bill, my wall at my home needs to be repaired. My prayer life is in ruins. Well, you know what? Just be an invoker of God again. Be a Jedediah. Get out there and change it. Amen? Get in your prayer closet. Now, look at the next group here. And Malchiah, the son of Harim, and Hashub, the sons of Peleth, Moab, repaired another section, as well as the Tower of the Ovens. Now, we don't know what that is, but many people assume it's the Tower of the Ovens is where they came. They would come to the ovens, the bakers, and they would sell their wares, you know, their bread and so forth there. But we met the people there in verse 11 back in Ezra. Remember, they took pagan wives, and Ezra had them repent, and then they offered a sacrifice to the Lord asking for forgiveness, and they were forgiven. What I like about these guys here is that they didn't let their past mistakes control their future. They're on the wall. They're doing the work for the Lord. And then in verse 12, and next to him was Shalom, the son of Haloish, leader of the half the district of Jerusalem. He and his daughters, now here comes the girls, he and his daughters made repairs. See, we need everyone. We need each person, whether it's a man or a woman, you know, to see families get out there and build the wall. And that's what we need to be doing. We're working for the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. He says here, and in Hanun, the inhabitants of Zenoa, they repaired the valley gate. Now, that's the fourth gate, by the way, and they built it, hung its doors. They did the bolts and the bars, and they repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the refuge gate. And it says, and the next individual there, the leader of the district of Beth-Hachirim, repaired the refuge gate. He built it, hung its doors, and again, he did so with bolts and bars. The valley gate is very easy. The valley gate is the gate that goes down to the valley. Amen? And the refuge gate is the garbage gate. It's where all the waste and the dead things, it's the valley of Hinnom. We get the word Gehenna Jesus used to describe hell, if you will. And that's where, who was his name? Manasseh, the king. That's where he took his own children and sacrificed them to the false god Moloch. He burned his children alive in the arms of that demon. Now, I'm glad tonight that we have a refuge gate where we can go and get rid of all of our garbage. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we confess them. Amen. And they're gone far as the east is from the west. And then in verse 15, then Shalom, the son of Jose, the little Spanish in there. Did you know that? A leader of the district of Mizpah repaired the fountain gate. Now, the fountain gate, remember, was built by King Hezekiah and supplied water to the city. Now, he built it, he covered it, he hung its doors with its bolts, the bars, and he repaired the wall of the pool of Shelah, which is the pool of Siloam, and by the king's garden as far as the stairs go down from the city of David. You know, I think this speaks to us of the Holy Spirit. You know, we have a fountain, don't we? Well, living waters that just pouring out from our being, you know. That's what Jesus promised the woman at the well there in John chapter 4. He said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again, and the world will never satisfy a thirst. But the water I give unto thee, you know, you will never thirst again. Never thirst again. Boy, only Jesus can satisfy us and no one else. He says, and after him, Nehemiah, the son of Azbuk, the leader of half the district of Beth-Zur, made repairs as far as the place in front of the tombs of David, meaning David and his descendants, to the man-made pool as far as the house of the mighty. We don't know exactly what the house of the mighty is. I believe it's probably David's mighty men of valor. That's where they were buried. Now drop down to verse 26 because these words are killing me, okay? Look at verse 26 with me. Moreover, the Nethim, who dwelt in Ophel, made repairs as far as the place in front of the water gate. Now, water gate is number 7. Toward the east and on the projecting tower. Now, that's where they would just go for their water. But this is symbolic. The water is always symbolic of God's word. Amen? But you know, did you notice right here it says that they did not repair the gate? Only the walls, and that's no accident. You see, because God's word never needs to be repaired. Amen? It is permanent, man. It is forever and ever. Heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said in Matthew 24. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So it was no accident that the water gate is number 7. Matter of fact, remember when we studied Ezra the last time? It was in Ezra, I believe, chapter 8. Remember when they built that wooden pulpit and he got up and he read the word of God? He read it right at the water gate. How symbolic is that? Now, and then beyond the horse gate, the priests made repairs, each in front of his own house. Very important, in front of his own house. The horse gate, we know what this is. It's very easy. It's the stables. It's the place where the horses were kept. Now, horses in Scripture are symbolic of war. Read the book of Revelation, the horses of the apocalypse and so forth. You know, in Jesus' first coming, when he rode into Jerusalem, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, didn't he? But if you read the book of Revelation, I think it's the 19th chapter, it tells us that Jesus is going to come back. We're going to come back with him. He's going to be on a white horse. It says that he judges. It says, Scripture says, he judges and makes war. Boy, I'll tell you, the first coming, gentle as a lamb. Boy, the second coming, he's a lion of the tribe of Judah. And then not only that, it says that on his thigh was written the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen. Jesus is going to come back. And until the rapture, you know what we need to do? We need to do what these guys did. That says the priest, they made repairs each in front of his own house, the horse gate, symbolizing a war. You know, we live in enemy territory, don't we? We have a real enemy, the devil, a defeated one. And we've overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, haven't we? But loved one, listen, you know what you need to put on, as I need to put on daily, the entire armor of God. We need to fight against the principalities, the rulers of darkness, not in our own power, but in the power of the Lord. You need to protect your home that way. In verse 29, after them, Zadok, the son of Immer, made repairs in front of his house. So he did the same thing. And Shemaiah, the son of Shechaniah, the keeper of the east gate, made repairs. Now, let me ask you a question. This is really hard. Where do you think the east gate was located? On the east. There you go. This side, you were wondering. This side got it. It's too late, you know? Yes, it was on the east side. So it was the first gate. The east gate was the first gate that was opened early in the morning, but it wasn't opened until the rising of the sun. There was a watchman on the wall. So soon as the sun was coming up, he made sure everything was clear. There was no enemies outside or whatever, and he would open up the gate after standing guard all night. So at that first light, sunrise, there's going to be a time where we're going to experience a sunrise. It's when the sun comes, amen? The true Son of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you keeping watch? Do you believe he could come tonight? Do you believe he could come at any moment? All the prophecies are fulfilled. There's not one other, no more that needs to be fulfilled. He could come at any time. That's why Jesus said this about the rapture of the church of the catching away. Jesus said in Mark 13:35, he says, watch therefore, you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Could be in the evening. It could be at midnight. It could be at the crowing of the rooster or in the morning. Jesus in Luke's gospel 12:37 said, blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, he finds watching. Meaning that continual expectancy. The Lord may come. He may come tonight. Praise God. He says, and assuredly I say to you, listen to this carefully now, that he will gird himself and have them sit down, meaning the servants, his servants, sit down to eat and will come and serve them. There are those who have called this the greatest promise in the Bible. Jesus will not call other people to serve his servants. He says, no, let me serve you. I don't know the depth of that. I certainly don't understand it. But I'll tell you, on that day, what a day, a glorious, incredible time that will be when Jesus does that to his faithful servants. He says in verse 30, and then after him, Hananiah, the son of Shelemiah, and Hanun, the sixth son of Zalpah, repaired another section. And after him, Meshulam, the son of Berechiah, made repairs in the front of his dwelling. If you looked up that word dwelling, it doesn't mean like a big house or it just means a one-room place. So this guy here, he just had one little room. That's where he lived, and he would went out and made repairs right there in front of his house. Everybody was involved. Everybody was working. You know, if you've ever lived in just a one-room house, you know, you can have fond memories. Did you know what I mean? I remember when I was in college, you know, I had one room with a kind of a loft thing, but it was just one big room. And you know, when I look back at that, those were some of the most intimate times when I was alone there with the Lord. And I would love to go to bed at night, and I would, back then, you know, you have those, I had a mason jar. You remember what the mason jars are? I had a glass, okay? I had a big glass, all right? And man, I would fill that up with ice. And you know, back then I would have a gallon jar, and you know, you'd put tea bags in it and let it sit in the sun, make sun tea. Y'all have done that too, right? Okay. Man, and I would be in that bed late at night after, you know, and I'd drink tea after, you know, and just study the Bible. And it was such a time of just growth and intimacy because I was a young Christian. And it was just that one room. I would never trade that. Those are some of the most fondest memories that I have. This man lived in one little room. And he was content. May I tell you, it doesn't matter if your home is gigantic. And it doesn't matter if it's just a tiny little room. A home should never be an idol. It's a place to live. Thank God we have a home. And I wish everybody had a big, beautiful home. You know what I'm saying? But that comes from God. And so, you know, he was just, there he was all by himself, evidently. And then after him, Malchichiah, one of the goldsmiths, made repairs as far as the house of Nethim. And the merchants in front of Mikkad, the gate, as far as the upper room of the corner. So the Mikkad gate literally means inspection or register, if you will. This gate here, whenever a stranger would come into Jerusalem, they would have to come to that gate, and they would then register to be able to enter into the city. The soldiers of David, for example, the army of David, they would go out into battle, but they had to return through that gate to be inspected or reviewed by King David as he checked them and loved them and, you know, gave them thanks. But really, this gate speaks of judgment because we are all going to be called forward for inspection and review by the King of Kings, aren't we? Now, this judgment, of course, it's not the sheep and goat judgment there of Matthew 25. That's about the nations that will be able to enter into the millennial reign with Christ. And it certainly is not the great white throne judgment because that is only for unbelievers. So this is the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat of Christ, which is only for believers. It is a place of our rewards. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. It has nothing to do with our sin. Our sin has been paid for. This is our stewardship. This is our work that we've done for the Lord. Amen? Now, and between the upper room at the corner, as far as the sheep gate, The goldsmiths and the merchants, they made repairs. So there we made that journey. We've gone full circle. We're right back now at the sheep gate. Now listen carefully. Locks and bolts were mentioned, I don't know, 5, 6, maybe 7 times. I didn't count them here in this chapter. But this gate doesn't have that. You see, the sheep gate is open to all. Jesus is the way to life, isn't it? There's no other way. Jesus is the life. Loved one, listen, we are building a wall. We're building a gate here, and we have for over 25 years at Calvary Chapel. But we're not building that or a wall or a gate to keep people from getting in. We're building it so they can come in, amen? That's what we're doing. But you know what? It takes teamwork. Can you imagine if everyone... What we just studied here in this little study, Bible study tonight, if everyone participated, think about that for a minute. Oh, many hands, do they make for a light load? Where everybody is serving, everybody is working. Do you know how much quicker you get things done? You know? That's like, you know, now that Becky doesn't mow the yard, I mean, I'm out there, I have to mow it now, you know? She doesn't help me anymore. That really is the truth, and I'll tell you, that's a lot of work. You know, because we do it together. Now that we can't do that now. I have to do it by myself. But you know what? It takes teamwork. You get it done so much quicker. And that phrase that we just looked at, next to him, next to them, you see, we really need each other. I need you. You need me. You need the person sitting next to you. This church, this body, we need each other. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 4:9, it says, two people can accomplish much more, twice as much as one. They get a better return for their labor. The Bible tells us in Romans 12:4, it says, for as we have many, we, all of us, we have many members in one body, but all members, they don't have the same function. You know, that's that unity and diversity, if you will. It says, so we, all of us, we need one another. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. My body, your body, okay, my human body is a single unit. I want every part to work. Don't you? I don't want anything not working. Man, listen, and I know what it feels like when it doesn't work. No, I like my body. I mean, all of my necessary parts, I like them all working together as one. Why? My body is functioning properly when that happens. You let something, one of your lungs all of a sudden is not breathing, don't you think you'd notice it immediately? Yes, absolutely. Listen, and my body, just like your body, has one single will. My eye never says to the other eye, well, I'm not going to look that way. It doesn't do that. You understand? Well, you know, if we're one body, then it's not your will. It's not my will, but it's God's will because it's his body. And when we all start working together, oh, loved one, it is wonderful. You know, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part, we see we really need each other. Every part, each person does its share, carries his or her own weight. You follow me? Yeah. It causes growth in the body to the edifying of itself in love. You see, if you are a believer, then you exist to serve in the body, not for the body to serve you. That's our function. That's what we're called to do. You see, we really do need one another. Not just teamwork, but team effort. We need everybody on the wall. You see, if we're building a wall and then there's not 100% participation, would there be gaps in the wall? Absolutely. This people over here building and then all of a sudden this people, but then there's a big gap right there and then you never get it done, as we'll find out in chapter 4. Oh, listen, it's important that we do that. Every person does a share. To be inactive in the body of Christ makes a dysfunctional body because you have certain things that God has called you to do, and if you don't do them, then the body suffers from it. Every person is so important. It says in verse 6 of Romans 12, where I'm reading, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Let us, all of us, activate them. the gifts that God has given us. You know, exercise them. What good is a gift that is not being used? It's not good for anything because it's not doing what it was intended to do. Man, listen, when we do, all of us, everybody that's connected to this family, when we all do what we're supposed to do, loved one, things change. See, we're not, if we operate on all eight cylinders, not four, but eight, man, we are a mean machine. Do you understand? Think about that for a minute. What are we missing? We're missing so much because I know and you know that not all of the church serves, not all of the church works, not all of the church are co-laborers with Christ. But man, if we just said, you know, Lord, we're going to do exactly what you tell us to do. I'm going to tell you, everything changes. It says, let us use them, meaning every one of us. If you noticed when we went through here in Nehemiah, there were three types of workers. There were those who don't work, there's those that do work, and then there are, in like I think it was verse 20, which I did not read, they were zealous or enthusiastic workers. Those are the three workers that are listed in Nehemiah. And you know what? God mentioned and took notice of all three of them. Now, question. I'm going to torment you for a minute. Is that okay? What is your involvement? What describes your involvement in God's work? In other words, where is your part? What do you do on God's wall, the wall that we are building here for the Lord? You know, you need to ask yourself this question. If every member of our church were just like me, what kind of church would our church be? In other words, if everyone served like you served, gave like you gave, loved like you loved, witnessed like you witnessed, I mean, loved one, attended church like you attend, what would it be like? What kind of church is that? Do you see what I'm getting at? All of us need to examine ourselves. You know, before we leave tonight, maybe we should all look inwardly and ask ourselves a question. How are our walls? Do they need to be rebuilt? Do they need to be repaired? Or is our home okay? Is our heart okay? Are we okay? Do we need to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you know what? I need this. I need to repair this, my prayer life or this or my Bible study, whatever it might be. Then do it. Rebuild it. Because you can in the power of another and through the grace of God, not in our own power. But if you do so, loved one, if you're building and all of a sudden you go, Bill, I keep trying, but everything keeps falling apart. I just can't, it's just not working. Then here's the deal. You have to build, I have to build, the church has to build, every believer has to build on the right foundation. Because if you are on the wrong foundation, it'll not stand. The Bible tells us, and I'm closing, it says in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, Paul says, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation. Another builds on it. Listen to the warning. But let each one, every believer, take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus the Lord. See, like I'm in Corinthians, remember? And like I said, man has no choice of foundations. There's only one. There's no room for anyone else except Jesus. No other religion, only the Lord. He is our only foundation. He's a tried stone. He is a sure stone. Amen. Oh, listen, he's the only way that you can build, but take heed by the way that you do it. You know, we really do need each other. That's why we need to be good to one another, kind to one another, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven us. We need to do the three commandments, the vision statement of this church, the great commandment, you know, to love God with all of our heart and love our neighbor as ourselves. Not only that, the new commandment. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, that ye love one another. And then the new part is, as I have loved you. And by this, the whole world will know that you're my disciples. You see, that's how we need to be. Because we can be that way. We can be good one to another, loving one another. You see, we really do need each other.
Pastor Bill's Nehemiah study continues on our next broadcast, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Hey, and thanks everyone for listening to Love Never Fails. My name is Brian Whitaker. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.